I have not met a human that has not walked the path of negativa. It is a path that recognizes and aware that the human experience, while it may be a blessing, is also an experience of suffering. While it is true that we were created in original blessing and goodness, and that all of creation, including ourselves, is full of goodness, the path of negativa reminds us that life is not all blessing. While we may begin in goodness, we will eventually encounter the path of negativa. It is on this path, reminds Matthew Fox, that we must also learn to let go and to sink into the emptiness, to learn from the pain of the human experience, and to allow the darkness that is also God to cover us and not be afraid of it. The path of negativa honors the pain of our human existence. It is Jesus crying out from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? We have all cried that cry. It is Gandhi reminding us that suffering is indeed the badge of the human race. When we suffer, we gather together and we have that and share that in common. And the sharing of that suffering raises us up. And as Meister Eckhart, the German mystic, reminds us, God is found not by adding things to our life, but God is found in the process of subtraction, of loss. It is in allowing ourselves to sit in the darkness of our own souls and not to run from pain, but to attend to it, that healing and wholeness are made possible. I remember listening to a tape by Caroline Mace, who said that if you have truly asked for union or oneness with God, then don't expect your life to be full of roses and butterflies. Be prepared to lose everything, for it is learning to let go of everything in emptying ourselves that the presence of God's fullness is made known to us. Only empty containers can be filled, full to overflowing. And so it is in our darkest times that the palpable presence of God becomes more strongly experienced. Buddhists and Christian mystics alike will tell us that it is in the nothingness, in the void, that the Spirit of God dwells. It is in our loneliest and alone times, our darkest moments, that like the bulb beneath the winter soil, the soul is beginning to shed its egoic, ingenuine nature, and out of painful places of vulnerability emerge our blessing, the fullness of God, in all of its authenticity. I remember meeting an active addict on his deathbed, and he was so devastated by his choices and felt like an utter and dismal failure in his life. And as I listened, as he articulated his disappointments in himself and in his life and in his choices and his pain, and as he gave voice to all of his self-betrayals and all of his self-centeredness and all of the harm he had caused, as he unburdened himself and allowed himself to express his pain, his heart became lighter, and I watched his face begin to shine with the radiance of the holy. He realized that in naming his sorrows and his disasters, in naming his own darkness, that there was a holy beauty hidden there in the vulnerability. That as his soul was laid wide open and bare, without pride or hypocrisy or attempts at covering it up, without excuse, that his soul shone more beautiful than he ever imagined he was. Yesterday, we celebrated the life of a woman who is only 63 when she died in her sleep of COPD. And it was heartbreaking as her 4-year-old granddaughter, at the end of the service, began to cry deep, deep sobs. And so in the blessing, I attempted words of comfort to her, which only made her cry all the harder until her sobs were a full wail. And I felt terrible. But when I woke up at 5 o'clock this morning and I reflected on the darkness, I realized it was the 4-year-old who was the most honest about the terrible pain of loss. She was able to express the deep sorrow in her heart and in her heart of her parents for all that she was never going to know, for all that she was going to miss through the death of her grandmother. If each of us could wail the pain of the world instead of allowing it to fester and bubble up into full-blown anger and blame and hate, so much of the world's darkness could be enlightened if we would only give voice to our pain. The Via Negativa honors the truth of who we are and invites us to accept the messiness and the darkness and pain of the human condition, to give us permission to live into it and to allow its genuine expression, and in doing so, finally find the blissful, sweet release of truth and authenticity and realness that is God. What pain in your own life do you carry that needs to be attended to and honored and articulated as you walk the path of Negativa? Matthew Fox's creation-centered spirituality also reminds us that when we are in the act of creating, be it a garden or a child or a work of art or a piece of woodwork or a print or a banner or a conversation or a community or a prayer or a song or a craft or a life, then we are participating in a divine act. It is when we are in the act of creating, of giving rise to something that wasn't there before, we are participating in the creative life force that infuses all things. As Dag Hammarskjöld reminds us, we are either in the process of creating or of destroying. And we need to decide what it is we are trying to accomplish. And sometimes there needs to be both, for it is in the endings that new beginnings can begin. When we are in the act of creating something, we are participating in a holy action. I think that's why in kindergarten, which I think most children would say is their favorite class, would you agree? Kindergarten was your favorite class? Did you even get kindergarten? No, some of you didn't, right? You just went right into grade one, the hard work of grade one. But kindergarten, I know my child was very disappointed. After he experienced kindergarten, grade one was a big letdown. Because in kindergarten, he was so excited, he got to choose every day which center he was going to create in. Was it going to be the Lego center, or the Meccano center, or the puzzle center, or the craft center? I think it was because it was an act of creation. Kindergarten was a whole garden of creativity. We should keep school like that. We should keep life like that. That's why everyone, I think, would rather go to Sunday school. Because you're creating. I know in Nicaragua, they go to Sunday school from 0 to 100. They never stop going to Sunday school. They have worship where they all worship together, and they all break into groups after, and they're either creating something or talking about something or studying something. It centers, again, like kindergarten. Because it's in the process of creating that we actually touch the core of our divine nature. No wonder kindergarten is the favorite grade. It's been suggested that when our creativity is stifled or frustrated and cannot find expression, we become depressed. And that is why we will find in psychiatric wards, which are my favorite wards in a hospital, or in long-term care facilities, we will find craft rooms or gardening solariums or woodworking studios, so that the divine impulse to create can still find expression and find healing for our souls. Today we are giving thanks to those in our church who have created the beautiful banners in our sanctuary, and to take a moment to bless those creations to the glory of God. And before we take a moment to give thanks for these beautiful creations, I'd like to invite Beth Richards, who leads the banner ministry, to come forward to share with us something about the path of Creativa for her.
It has been a great experience to be part of the making of the banners. And through the creative process, which I have been on since I was little, my grandmother taught me to knit and to sew. It is life, the creative process is life-giving to me. Alone in my own home or with friends, creating with needle and thread has always sustained me, both through friendships and through the meditative act of the stitches themselves. I have celebrated births, anniversaries, and marriages by stitching gifts, made many comfort quilts and prayer shawls for family or for unknown recipients, always with the hope that they will bring joy to the whoever receives them. We chose the colors for the banners to follow the United Church liturgical seasonal colors: blue for Advent, white and yellow, gold for Christmas, and green for the so-called ordinary time. The community I found, getting to know people I wouldn't otherwise have had the opportunity to meet, and from the collaborative, the designing, the collaboration through that of the banners and the shopping for fabric, the cutting, the destroying, and the sewing together again of the fabric has been a wonderful journey. In the blue banners, you'll notice that we go from dark to light, but always with the hope of the light in the end, represented by the star. In the green banners, what I hope people will see, I know people have seen different things, is that we are all different. We come from all backgrounds. We're different sizes, different shapes. But in the lines that connect all those shapes is the Spirit of God, and that's what keeps us whole, what brings us together and makes us as a group beautiful. And even in the joy of the celebration banners for Christmas and Easter, we go from darkness to light. And as we do in our lives. The journey has also convinced me, even more than before, that as the United Church Creed states, we are not alone. We live in God's world. Thanks be to God.
I'd like to invite all those who have had a hand in creating the antependiums, the communion cloth, the banners that are here, the banners that are up there, to come forward and to place your hand, and like the chair of worship and the arts, Charlene, to find a place too, under which, and to come forward. And if you've had a hand, there are names mentioned. If you had a hand in it, any creativity at all. Sure. And place your hands on the banners as we bless them. Let us pray and bless these gifts. Creator God, we give thanks that you are the creator and so are we. Today we give special thanks to the creators of these banners and cloths and antependiums that grace our sanctuary for their beauty and color, for their design and inspiration that blesses this holy space. O God, may their presence serve as a reminder that you invite all of us to participate in the holy practice of creating, bringing forth beauty where before there was nothing. Bless these gifts and bless the creators, we pray. Amen. The fourth path of creation-centered spirituality, according to Matthew Fox, is the path of transformativa. He maintains that the ultimate purpose of the spiritual life is transformation, both an inner personal transformation of the individual, along and together with a collective and social transformation of community. Jesus calls the disciples to a path of transformation and talks about the need for becoming new wineskins. He also calls for a transformation of society in which a new kingdom of justice and equality and compassion needs to emerge, and he called it the kingdom of God. Matthew Fox reminds us that in order for us to become citizens of a new society called the kingdom of God, we need to become new citizens, new people altogether, that have hearts of compassion for ourselves and for each other. The challenge is we humans don't like to be transformed. We don't like change. Most of us find change difficult, and we, in fact, don't like it. And yet, it is in the process of change and transformation that God is revealed. It is in the process of change that we are grown emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. And it is important that we allow the living of our lives and the experiences that happen to us to change us, to grow us, to expand our thoughts and our hearts. I know that I don't think the way I used to think when I was 20, or when I was even 40. Every day, I'm changing my mind. I'm seeing new possibilities and potentiality. Today, the young people around the world are challenging the ways we have been doing things. They are asking infrastructures to be altered, ways of doing business and economics to change, travel to change, energy sources to be transformed, ways we eat and produce food to be changed. In order for us to survive as a species, we will need to undergo enormous amounts of change. And so it is important that we take up this task of transformation. It is a holy calling. In fact, it is the work of the church and of the soul not to resist change, but to embrace it and to be open to it and to work for transformation of our individual hearts, and to work for the transformation of the church in order for us to become more relevant in people's lives, and to work for our society to be transformed for the common good, until we look more like the kingdom of God that Jesus was calling us to. When you look back on your own lives, in what ways has your mind been changed? In what ways has your heart been expanded through love? How has your soul been grown? And what part would you like to play in transforming our church into a more loving community? How could Oceanside become more compassionate toward those who are struggling? It is not easy to allow ourselves to be transformed, to be stretched, expanded, but that is the ultimate work of the Holy Spirit, to grow us more and more and more into the likeness of our Creator, into the likeness of the Christ. So you and I are called to walk these four paths. The path of Positiva, recognizing the joy and the goodness and the beauty and the blessing in the world. To walk the path of Negativa, attending to the sorrow and the loss and pain that is part and parcel of the human condition in need of healing and hope. To walk the path of Creativa, actively participating in the joy of creating something new. And to walk the path of Transformativa, the holy path of soul work and social change. This is a new creation-centered spirituality that is emerging among us, in spite of us, and upon which the Spirit is diligently leading us. May we each have the courage and the wisdom to walk these four paths with grace. Amen.